Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
A very special word of welcome to our guests and our visitors. If you're here at St. Benedict's for the first time, we hope you feel at home among us, and we're so happy to have you. There was a very devout Jewish man who was heartbroken because he had spent a lot of time, energy, resources to try to get his son to grow up a faithful Jew like himself. And so he sent his son for a semester to Israel. He made sure that he got all the Hebrew school he needed, all the religious and language education he needed. And so he was sure that he had done his job very effectively. But then his son came back, and after his trip to Israel, fell in love with a Christian girl and converted to Christianity. So the father was just heartbroken. He went to see his rabbi. He said, "Rabbi, Rabbi, you won't believe it. I sent my son for 3 months to Israel. Wonderful semester away. Comes back, marries a Gentile. Now he wants to be a Christian." He says, "Oh, you won't believe it. I sent my son for a whole year to Israel. 4 semesters. Got him the best education. Came back, married a Christian girl. He too converted to Christianity." "Oh, Rabbi, really? Yes, I don't believe it." Well, they were both heartbroken, going back and forth and back and forth. So let's just take this to prayer. Let's take this to God. So they went in there to the little prayer room in the synagogue, and they went and stood in front of the Torah, and they said, "Oh, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. So we have a big problem, you know. Look at us, good Jewish men, our kids, both our sons converted to Christianity." Eventually, the voice comes from heaven and says, "Hey, look at me. I sent my son to Israel 2,000 years ago. And look what happened." God so loved the world, he sent his only son. He sent his only son to be our Savior. God gave so much. You know, this passage from Scripture, John 3:16, we see it in bumper stickers, we see it in billboards. It's been called by some experts the gospel of the gospels. It's the core of the good news, isn't it? That God sent his son to save us. It's a message that cannot be taken lightly. We could say that God gave everything, the best of himself, in order for us to be saved. And it's at the very core of Christianity that God did not choose to visit us in some other form, but that God took on our human flesh and he came into this world to save us in our own condition as one like us. If you think about it, the salvation that comes through Christ and from Christ is the salvation of a God who came to lift up our humanity with our own humanity. In other parts of Scripture, we read that God did not deem equality with God something to be grasped, but that he emptied himself and took on our human form, and he came to save us as one like us. That's the great mystery that's revealed in today's gospel. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son to be our Savior. God really did give himself. You know, there was a missionary who was going around visiting families in his new mission territory. And he had heard of a woman that was a single mother who lived alone with her son. And her son had great difficulties, and the woman dedicated her whole life to the son and to making him well, and he had been sick for most of his life. And so the missionary went and prayed with this family and began to talk to her, and when he began to talk to her, he could sympathize with her and see what was happening. And he said, oh, you know, I see how much love you have for your son. And she says, yes, I love him a great deal. He says, you know, I have 8 sons back home, the missionary said. I have 8 boys. He said, 8 boys? He says, oh, he said, I could never, ever divide my love among 8 boys. And the missionary looked in her eyes and said, you know, God did not divide his love when he sent us his son. He multiplied it. Because love doesn't divide, love multiplies. There's such great truth in that, isn't there? When God sent his son, he sent him to save us. Not just the people of Israel, but all of humanity. He really is a universal Savior, the Savior of all. And the good news of that is that we never have to compete for God's love. For God's love is unconditional, is complete for each and every one of us. God's love doesn't divide, it multiplies. And that's the kind of love we find in Jesus. When you run into a fervent evangelical, sometimes they'll ask that question. I was on a plane the other day, and sure enough, my collar on, so let's talk religion. And right away, I'm thinking I'm going to read my book. You know, I had my plans, my headphones, my book. Before I could put on the headphones, when were you saved? Oh. And of course, when that conversation begins, then it's your whole concept of salvation has to be revealed. For many people, when were you saved is a specific date. You know, I went to a Billy Graham rally in 1957, and I stood up and made an altar call, and I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, and that's kind of the concept of salvation. For those of us who come from the more mainstream traditional churches, of course, we point to our baptism as the moment of salvation. When we came to Christ through the waters of baptism, when through our parents and godparents we received the gift of faith, and then that faith has been renewed and strengthened in confirmation and throughout our lives. But it's hard to explain to someone whose theology is that salvation comes through some personal act of acceptance, through some flash moment of conversion, how salvation happens to us. But you know, when you look at the biblical understanding of salvation revealed in today's John 3:16 passage, it's very, very clear, isn't it? That salvation comes from an act of God for us. An act of love. It is God who made the decision to save us. We really don't make decisions to be saved. It is a freely given gift, a gift of God's grace. Obviously, as human beings, we must open our minds and our hearts to God, but salvation comes from God, the God who gave everything. And I want you to think about what it means for you that God would multiply his love in such an awesome way so as to embrace you and include you in that gift of salvation. And I want to take salvation a step further. Salvation is truly the transformation that occurs when we live our lives in Christ, not only in this life, but salvation which leads to eternal life. That transformation is something that we are entrusted with. Because just as it is a freely given gift, just as Jesus came to lift up our humanity by this gift of salvation, we're called to lift each other up as the body of Christ. Salvation can't be some kind of faraway theological concept up there somewhere, you know, in Plato's topus uranus in the world of ideas. It's got to be incarnate. It is the Word made flesh. It is the God who came to visit us with salvation, the God who gave everything to save us. And know His love is never divided but multiplied. How do we lift up Jesus in each other? Because guess what? This world needs to be saved. See, the other part of that passage that we all know so well, God so loved the world, He gave His Son so that we would be saved. The other part is that God did not send His Son to condemn the world. Oftentimes as Christians and throughout the centuries in the church, we've made the mistake to be the condemning church. The church that is quick to highlight the negativity in our world, the sinfulness of others, the disagreements we have with others. Reminds me of that Chinese proverb, right? It is better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. Remember that? The church is called to light that candle, to be the light of Jesus in the world, not to condemn the world. If God did not allow His Son to condemn the world, why do we? I can't stand it when I hear preachers who speak about the world, like the world is evil. Because those things of the world, when I hear that, it drives me nuts. Because God did not send His Son to an antiseptic world like a bottle of Listerine. God sent His Son to a world full of germs. He sent His Son to a sinful world. And you and I are part of that sinful reality. So if we are to accept the fullness of salvation through Christ, we understand it's a package deal, isn't it? It's that Jesus who comes to this reality that is broken and sinful and not quite right. It is the God who came to this darkness to penetrate with the light of salvation, every corner of every darkness, including the darkness in our own life. That's the God who saves. The church has spent too much energy and too much time condemning human beings or humanity for a variety of things. Sometimes people look at us already. If you look at what's going on, when you talk to the millennials and you talk to the young people in our society, their concept of church is a church of rejection, not a church of embrace and of love. It's a church where they feel out of place because they don't measure up. And I know some people will say those are excuses, but no. We have portrayed a very poor vision as the body of Christ, what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be the loving embrace of the God who sent His Son to embrace this humanity as it is. Not some other version of a romantic humanity that we would like to exist. This humanity, this beloved world, this good world that God made, with all of its addictions and problems and struggles and difficulties, with all of its darkness, this is the world Jesus came to save. How do we lift each other up? How do we profess our faith in a Savior who gave it all if we're not willing to give it all to lift up each other? Because ultimately, that's what we're called to. God so loved the world, He gave His Son. And He gave His Son not to condemn the world, but to save it. And I'm going to tell you something. Love is still the greatest power in the world. Love is still the greatest power in the world. Just as the love of God is able to embrace us, unlimitedly. Just as we are able to be embraced by the love and grace of God, we are able to embrace each other with that same love that dwells in us. It's not enough for us to reduce this to some kind of theology or religious concept. We must make salvation known by concrete works of love, by lifting up each other. Because the God who gave everything for us, the God who sent his only Son for our salvation, that God is asking us this question today. What are you willing to give? I gave it all for you. What are you willing to give? In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.